Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. I'm now into my fourth week of teaching in a series that I've entitled Knowing God. And this is actually a five-part teaching. We're into our fourth part, our fourth week of teaching on this on television. And I tell you, this is just the bottom line of Christianity. It's about knowing God. It's not about just receiving from God, getting your sins forgiven so that in the future you'll go to heaven, and then in heaven all these things will start. But right now, we can know God, and I really believe that most Christians are not experiencing their knowing God the way that they should. It's really, another way of saying this, is relationship with God. That's what it's all about. If you were to ask somebody that goes to our Bible college, you know, basically this is one of the points that we just make over and over and over and over and over and over. Everything I teach is all about knowing God. It's all about relationship with God. I have a class on longevity in ministry, and if you boil it down to the bottom line, if you know God, you'll make it. If you don't, you won't. Amen. It's the answer to everything. And last week I was talking about how that you can't know God just by physical, natural things. You have to know Him through the Spirit. You have to walk by faith. And I tell you, this was that teaching, I believe, is something that could just like push you over the hump in your relationship with God, because I really believe that this desire to know God in just some physical, tangible way is probably the biggest hindrance to relationship with God. So I spent a lot of time talking about that. So supposing that you've tracked with this, you understand that knowing God is the real goal and purpose of salvation. If that's your heart's desire, if you understand it's got to be done through the Spirit, it's not going to just, you aren't going to have an audible voice come. Although those things can and have happened with the vast majority of people, this is not how God's going to reveal Himself. And even if God was to speak to you in an audible voice or a visible form, it's not going to be the normal way that He speaks to you. It could happen on an occurrence. So if you understand all of these things and agree, and this is now your stated purpose and your desire is to know God, then how do you do it? How is it that you go beyond your senses? And how is it that you perceive who God is and what He wants to do in your life? How do you come to know God? That's what I want to spend the next couple of weeks talking about. Let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. And let me share some words that Peter wrote. And I tell you, I think that this is really powerful about how you just come to know God and experience His life. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have, that's already past tense, it's already done. He's not writing to people who want to obtain this. This is to people who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not going to spend time on this, but I just have to mention this in passing, that this whole verse right here, this whole sentence, is diametrically opposed to the way most people live their life today. Most Christians today believe that God can do something, but that He has done nothing, and they are in the process of begging God to give them something new to touch them. Peter is writing to people who have already obtained like precious faith with Him. And if you look this up in the Greek, the word like precious faith is talking about identical faith. See, some people think, well, the Apostle Peter, Paul, these apostles, they had supernatural faith and all these kind of things. Here I am, Joe Blow Christian, and I'm nothing. That's not so. Apostle Peter is writing to people who have like precious faith, identical faith. If you just, for whatever reason, you're going to accept religious tradition and say, oh no, my faith is so weak and I have nothing and I'm nothing, I'm just the weakest of the weak, and I'm the sorriest saint that ever lived. And if you aren't going to accept what Peter said, well, then tear 2 Peter out of your Bible and throw it away, because he's writing to people who have like precious faith. If you don't accept this first verse, then you can't accept any of 2 Peter, because he's writing to people who have like precious faith, an identical faith. And he says it came through the righteousness of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not something you earn. Faith isn't given to you as a reward for your service. When you got born again, it was imparted unto you. It is a gift of faith. It's a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. And like I said, I could preach on that. I nearly did. But let me move on to the next verse. In verse 2, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Here again, this is what this whole series that I've been doing is about knowing God. This is saying that grace and peace is multiplied unto you, not added, certainly not subtracted, but it's multiplied. It's exponential. When you know God, it comes through the knowledge of God. Most people today are praying and asking God to give them peace, but the real reason they don't have peace is because they don't know God and they don't know the ways of God. You know, I remember, some of you don't have this perspective, but I remember back when the interest rates in the United States, I think this was back in the 70s, was in double digits. Over 20% a lot of people were paying on the interest rate. And I mean, people were talking about the inflation and all of the things going on. And I mean, people were just screaming, financial disaster. And there was a lot of people that were nervous and all of these things. Even back in that time, I remember that the Lord revealed to me that He's going to supply my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I remember telling people, I don't care what the interest rate goes to. I don't care what the inflation rate goes to. God is going to supply my need. There is no shortage in heaven. If He has to, you just cash in an extra brick from the streets of gold up there, amen, or whatever. But He's going to supply my needs. Here we are now, and I'm saying the same thing when it comes to gasoline. If gasoline is $4, $5, if it's $10 a gallon, I'm not wanting that. I'm believing that God is going to help turn some things around. I don't think that that's good for our economy, for a lot of things. But you know what? Bottom line, push comes to shove, God's going to supply my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Some of my friends in the UK have been paying $11 and $12 per gallon of gas. And if you talk about diesel, it's up to $13 to $14 per gas as of the beginning of 2008. And they've been doing that for years, and God's meeting their needs. If gasoline becomes $100 a gallon, I'm not going to like it. I don't think that that's good, but you know what? I will make it. And you know how I have peace like that? Some people, I just can't do that. You know why? Because you are only evaluating things based on the human economy. You're looking at your natural resources and you're trying to figure out how you would be able to accommodate that. But if you have the right knowledge of God, Philippians 4:19, that my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory. In glory, there is no such thing as inflation. There is never a weakening of the dollar or the currency wherever you live. And see, if you have the right knowledge, it just gives you peace in the midst of economic hardship. If you have the right promises of God, if there was a plague breaking out, the Bible says in Psalms chapter 91 that no plague will come nigh our dwelling. Only with our eyes shall we behold and see the reward of the wicked. I have read reports of ministers back during the Middle Ages when the plague was sweeping Europe, and one minister stood at the edge of his town and spoke and rebuked and commanded that plague to stop, and there wasn't a single person in his village that got the plague. Some people would think that's coincidental. I don't. I believe that that's because, see, he had the right knowledge. And if you have the right knowledge, then when everybody else is panicking about things, you can stay calm. I remember when the AIDS epidemic just first came out. I heard this on the radio this week. It's now been 25 years ago when AIDS first became an issue. We have lived with the AIDS virus and epidemic for 25 years. And when that first started, for any of you that are old enough to remember this and were focused on it, they were predicting that there could be half of the population destroyed by this, that it was going to be something that was going to cross the lines and move out of the gay community into the heterosexual community, and that we were just going to be devastated by it, and all these dire predictions. And you know what? Even though that there have been cases of AIDS transmitted, like from parent to child through birth, there has been AIDS transmitted, sharing of needles or something like that. As a whole, it hasn't jumped the gender lines. It hasn't crossed over into the heterosexual community. It has actually stayed, the numbers of people that have had AIDS have stayed relatively close. And the point I'm making is, it didn't turn into this terrible thing that destroyed everybody, and whether you were living right or not, you were going to be destroyed by it. It wasn't that way. And those who had the word of God that no plague is going to come nigh my dwelling, that God's going to bless me, I was in peace 25 years ago when all of these predictions were being made. I'm still at peace today, 25 years later, when they finally made an official statement that AIDS has not morphed into this terrible thing that everybody has claimed. And you know what? I'm going to be at peace tomorrow when the next thing comes out and somebody goes to worrying about that and talking about it. It doesn't come because of prayer. It comes because you know the truth, because you know what the Word of God has to say. It comes because you know God. You have the knowledge of God. Brothers and sisters, I'm saying this in love. I don't know how to get this across any other way than what I'm doing. But there are some of you that just fall apart like a $2 suitcase every time the latest thing comes through, the latest economic news, the latest health scare, the latest foreign policy problem and potential war, and you just worry and all of these things happen and you pray and ask God to give you peace and to help you to cope. And the reason you aren't coping is because you don't know God. If you knew God, the scripture actually says, Jesus was teaching this, and he says, when you see wars and rumors of wars, when you hear of earthquakes in divers places, when you hear of famines and wars and pestilence and all of these things, then lift up your eyes, rejoice, because your redemption draws nigh. If we really were based on the Word of God, if we were flowing in the Spirit, we would see that all of the travail and the calamity that's going on in the world, it seems like it's just groaning and travailing that something's about to happen. Instead of panic, we would look at it and think, man, this is it. We're getting close. Jesus is coming back. We could lift up our heads and rejoice knowing that our redemption draws nigh. See, peace doesn't come through just desiring it, asking for it. It comes through what you know. Man, that's powerful. And I could stay on that forever, but I'm really wanting to go on. In the next verse it says, let me just go back and read verse 2 because it all fits together. It's, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. In verse 3 it says, according as. The word according as means to the degree of, or to, in proportion to. Your peace will be proportional to his divine power that has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Your life and godliness, whatever it is that you need. If you need healing today, did you know that you need the knowledge of God? Because your healing will come proportional to his divine power that comes through the knowledge of him. As long as I was told that God passed away with the apostles and that miracles weren't for us today and that all of the miracles that were in the Bible were a special dispensation for the first century, but God doesn't do miracles today. Did you know, as long as that's what I heard and what I believed, I never had miracles. Miracles don't come to pass accidentally. There's reasons why certain people see the miracle power of God and others don't. As long as I didn't believe in it and I didn't have the right knowledge, I never experienced it. As long as I didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, I never experienced it. It just doesn't jump on you. It doesn't come on you. You don't catch it like a cold or something. It doesn't attack you like a seizure. You have to believe and receive these things. As long as I didn't understand these things, you will basically experience God according to the way that you think. If all you think that God can do today is forgive you of sins and then you're saved and stuck until you die and go to heaven, if that's what you believe, then that's basically what you will experience. And there are some of you that have experienced exactly what I'm talking about. You know for sure that you're born again, but you aren't living in victory. You couldn't overcome a cold if you had to. You can't operate in joy when everything around you is going bad. You're fearful just the same as the unbelievers are fearful. You have the same worries, the same phobias. You're as poor as everybody else. There is virtually none of the blessings of God manifesting in your life. And the reason is because you don't know God. If you know God, if you knew Him and knew that God's a good God and He wants you to prosper in every area and that Jesus died to produce healing in you, He died to bless you, He died to give you His love and joy and peace. And if you knew that and believed it, then you would begin to start experiencing those things proportional to this knowledge. People perish. The Bible says, I believe it's Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And that's basically a summary of where the body of Christ is today. We don't know the truth. We've been told that God doesn't do miracles, that those things, the Bible days are over. Well, don't wake me up. I'm living in it. I'm not living in it as perfectly as I should. I'm getting better and stronger, and I'm still learning. But I've lived in it enough to know that miracles happen today and that God is alive today and that God speaks today and that I can have a relationship with Him. This says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things. In the Greek, this means all things. It means exactly what it says, that there is nothing. Whatever it is that you need, if you were sick, you got a knowledge problem. If you knew God as your healer, and if you had a revelation of that to where it was at the heart level and not just in your head, but in your heart, you knew that God had borne your sickness and carried your diseases, you'll be healed. If you knew that Jesus became poor so that you through His poverty might be made rich, 2 Corinthians 8:9, if you knew that at your heart level, not just in your head, you would begin to start experiencing God's prosperity. If you knew that God loved you and that it wasn't based on your performance, but that God loves you because He is love, not because you're lovely, you would get free from the condemnation and the performance-based mentality that so many Christians are saddled with today. But see, people don't know God. All of these things come through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. This very phrase right here, He didn't call you to shame and defeat. He called you to glory and virtue. He called you to be living an abundant life, John 10:10. He called you to be an overcomer, 1 John 5:4. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We are world overcomers. That's the potential. That's the will of God. And yet many Christians are living below that. They are being destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And then the next verse, 2 Peter 1:4 says, whereby, talking about this knowledge of God, is how we obtain everything that it takes to live a godly life. And it says, by this knowledge of God, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The Word of God is His knowledge. The knowledge of God imparted the Word of God to us. This Word, the Holy Bible, is God revealing Himself, His nature and character. You know, I would have to say that the greatest revelation that God ever gave the world of who He really is Jesus. Hebrews 1:3 says that who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, that's talking about Jesus. Jesus was the express image. The word express means a perfect representation. No flaws, nothing lacking, nothing needing to be added, nothing needed to be subtracted. Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16. So Jesus has to be the greatest manifestation of God ever given to the earth. Jesus even said in John 14, if you had known Me, you would have known My Father, and from henceforth you know Him. If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. So Jesus is the greatest manifestation when He was on this earth in His physical body. But you and I didn't have the benefit of seeing Jesus. We didn't have the benefit of hearing Him minister. So for you and I, what is the greatest manifestation or the greatest way of knowing God? What is the greatest revelation of God that you and I have? I'd have to say it's the Word of God that recorded the ministry of Jesus and recorded the apostles and the acts of the Holy Spirit and gave us this Word that reveals. And it's just like this said, through the knowledge of God, this Word has been committed. It was given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That's talking about the Word of God, the written Word of God. So let me boil it down and say it this way. Here's what I'm trying to say today, is that if you want to really know God, and if you accept that, this is the priority, this is the bottom line, this is for us in this life, not just the one to come, if you understand that it can't be done through just your five senses, it has to be done on a heart level, we have to discern Him spirit to spirit, God is a spirit and we must worship Him in spirit and in truth, then how do I start moving in that direction? Through the Word of God. And I refer back to John chapter 6, verse 63. This was Jesus speaking, and He says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." God's Word is written in a physical, tangible way. I'm holding a Bible in my hand that has the words recorded. But it's not the physical words on a page. It's not the ink and the paper that is the Word of God. The Word of God is living. It is alive. And it is spiritual. It's the spirit that these words represent that is the true Word of God. I could take a Bible and tear a page out of the Bible, and did you know what? I haven't changed the Word of God. All I've done is changed what we call the Bible, which represents and perfectly reveals to us the Word of God. But the Word of God is really spirit and life, is what Jesus said. And so, if you want to move into this spirit realm, if you want to get to where you know God based on faith, based on what's true in your heart, and not be limited and bound to your five senses, if you want to go back to living as God intended man to live, to where they're walking by this sixth sense of faith, how do you get there? Through the Word of God. This Word has given us exceeding precious promises that by these we might partake of the divine nature. Another way of saying it's Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The faith that it takes to walk in this supernatural realm and have this sixth sense of faith functioning to where we can truly know God, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So if you want to know God, and you've now recognized it's not going to be through some physical, natural means that you know Him, but it's faith. How do you get this faith functional? It's through the Word of God. The Word of God is given to bring us into this spiritual realm. The words that God spoke, they are spirit and they are life. And this is how you come to know God. Boy, that is powerful. Now, I've got a lot more to share on this, but this is a powerful truth. I'm going to be amplifying on this and explaining it a lot more this week. So I encourage you to keep tuning in every single day and join me here for the gospel truth.